There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
In another world, I would have had a sweatshirt to bring in today that said, happy holidays to everyone, but especially Valtteri Bottas, who is an Alfa Romeo driver. But it was stolen, and I want to be petty. I have a message for the person who stole it. I'm very angry. And that is why, after all of our many different props of this season,
Alfa's
a little, admittedly, a little forgotten. So I think
How does a sweatshirt get stolen? Was someone broke into your home?
No, it was Jim. Delivery. Yeah, it was delivered, and I went right down. Like 30 minutes later, it was gone.
Those people that steal delivery packages, I've thought about having some type of weapon delivered that would explode upon impact. I guess what I just described was a mail bomb, which is not cool, and I shouldn't advocate for that. But I want something bad to happen to those people.
I will say there was a viral video of someone who created their own glitter stink bomb.
That's great.
And put it on their stoop.
That's
and
awesome.
So they had a camera in there. So they watched some person open their car and just ruin their entire car.
I love that.
Yeah, that was good karma. You know,
no,
it's like
that's good. That's
it's funny.
What I meant.
Yeah, funny,
that's what
harmless,
I meant. Yes.
But very effective. So I hope that person learned their lesson that a glitter stink bomb could be sitting anywhere.
People who don't live in major cities, you know, you just get your packages delivered on your porch. It's all good. But in New York City, you got 5,000 people living in the same building. But
there's so much trust in the suburbs that I'm too jaded for that.
That's also messed up. Yeah.
So to this end, today, mm-hmm. we're talking about a team that does have a history in the sport of Formula One, but also can be a little bit forgotten. So that is none other than Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo.
However, before we or you count them out, I will say but they could be turning a new leaf right now. So there's a lot to be excited about with Alfa Romeo.
Okay.
I personally am very stoked about their driver lineup. So there's a lot to get into today.
Alfa Romeo. Yohai, hit me.
From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is
Choosing Sides. F. One.
Wow! Wow! Wait.
So if you thought the whole Renault-Alpine history was confusing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Alfa Romeo really says hold my beer. So, but we're gonna skim through a lot of it. We're just gonna give the broad strokes.
Hold my espresso.
That's actually much better, yeah. Espresso and Aperol spritz. Yeah. That seems appropriate. Yeah. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Alfa Romeo with our Ferrari episodes because they are intertwined. So just to recap a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. So Alfa Romeo is an Italian car manufacturer that's been around since 1910. Mm. Their name was originally just Alfa, and it was capital, all caps, A-L-F-A. Mm. The founding name was actually an acronym for, I'm going to butcher this Italian, Anonima Lombarda.
Anonima Lombarda Fabbrica Automobili.
Which basically means it had a bunch of anonymous investors.
Oh, okay.
And then the Romeo part comes from Nicola Romeo. He was an engineer and entrepreneur. He acquires a majority stake in Alfa in 1915, so only a couple years later. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually owns the entire company by 1918. Mm. And so eventually he, of course, tacks on his name.
Alfa Romeo.
That's where it comes from. And in term, we'll get to the racing part of the team. But in terms of our guy Nicola, because I, of course, was curious, he ended up leaving Alfa Romeo after a series of bad investments and other issues by 1928. I have zero other fun facts about him, except that he had seven children, which is quite a brood. Yes.
That's that Roman Catholic birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
working
do
around
it.
The clock.
don't do it.
Or not. Yeah, so basically, Team's Alfa Romeo, brand's Alfa Romeo, as we know, it's still called Alfa Romeo, and it really makes a name for itself in the luxury vehicle and car market.
Yeah.
In terms of racing, Alfa Romeo starts racing in 1911, so the year after its founding. It does have some success across a bunch of different series and disciplines, including, but not limited to, Formula One, Rally, sports car racing, and then touring car racing.
Hmm.
So, yeah, things are going well. Basically, though, more specifically, if we get to Formula One, Alfa's been in it since the pre-modern era, you know, when Formula One debuts as an actual sport in 1950. So they started competing in these kind of Grands Prix in the late 1920s.
It is another of the new Alfas that crosses the line with a brilliant young driver from Algeria, Guy Moll.
This is where some of their history intersects with Mercedes in a couple of different ways.
This long supremacy of Italian cars is at last to be challenged on the Arvus in Berlin by rear-engined auto unions, the first new racing cars of the Third Reich.
So in the 1940s, again, around the time of World War II and then directly after, they had mixed success in these kind of this pre-F1 era because Mercedes was dominating, as we discussed in the Mercedes episode. Their pre-F1 cars at Mercedes were great. They won all those European championships, as they were called. However, when F1 actually becomes a real formalized sport, Alfa Romeo wins out. They actually are the winners of the first ever world championship.
There we go.
1950.
The race was a foregone conclusion for the unbeaten Alfa Romeo team.
With Giuseppe Farina. And then in 1951, they win again with a guy, Juan Manuel Fangio.
Fangio, the rising star, came through to win. And this, incidentally, at the age of 39, when many drivers think of retiring.
Who is, like, in the sport, a legendary guy. Up until Michael Schumacher in the early 2000s, Fangio was the winningest championship driver. So for almost half a century, he held that title.
No man has given more to the essentially 20th century art of motor racing than has the incomparable Juan Manuel Fangio, 5 times champion driver of the world.
Hola, Fangio.
He was Argentinian.
Okay, sorry. Hola, Fangio.
He actually exits the sport of F1 after getting kidnapped by revolutionaries in Cuba.
Kidnapped at pistol point by Cuban rebels, obviously seeking to embarrass President Batista's government by making sure the star attraction is not on the starting line for the big race.
They don't torture him or anything. They just keep him there, like give him a sandwich. And they hand him back. And he's like, I don't really want to do any of this stuff anymore.
Oh,
so,
my God. I mean, yeah. This is just a time where crazier shit happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's Alfa Romeo. They win in 1950, 1951, and then they say peace out
they
of
do.
F1. Yeah. They end on that high note, and they leave for a very long time. So again, we're going to skip over some of this because it's super confusing. But basically, from 1952 until the mid-1980s, Alfa Romeo is sporadically involved as an engine supplier and a constructor supplier. But basically, yeah, none of these teams are particularly successful or interesting. So again, that's why we're kind of breezing through like 35 years of history here. But let's skip ahead. The year is now 2015, so much more recent.
Okay.
Alfa begins partnering again with Ferrari as a sponsor. Their logo starts to appear on Ferrari cars.
Okay.
A couple of years later, again, 2018 now, they become the title sponsor of a team called Sauber, which has been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Sauber is seen, again, has a special relationship with Ferrari. For instance, Charles Leclerc at Ferrari, he got his start, his first year was at Sauber. A lot of drivers in this sort of Ferrari pipeline get their start at Sauber.
Sauber.
Yes, Sauber.
Copy.
Well, I think Alfa Romeo, you know, the history they have in the sport, it's incredible.
So that was Tatiana Calderon. You might remember her all the way back during our first episode, but she was actually an Alfa Romeo test driver at one point.
Cool. Hi, Tatiana.
Their biggest strength lies in the people they have hired. So a lot of the guys that I work with are still in the team. They have a great team of engineering people at the factory, very passionate about what they do. And hopefully we'll see them, like we have seen at the start of this season, that they can fight for really good positions.
This is where things do get very, very confusing. So Alfa returns to the sport. They end up taking over the name of the Sauber team, but the team is still operated by Sauber. So this, everyone remains at Sauber. It's just a new name. So today you see Alfa Romeo, now Orlen's a sponsor. So it's Alfa Romeo Orlen, but then operated by Sauber.
Okay.
Yeah, confusing. But Alfa Romeo basically comes back to the grid in 2019. Historically, have not always been the strongest.
Yeah.
You know, they're back of the pack when they enter in 2019. So that's kind of where Alfa sits, is
okay.
Back, maybe back of the midfield or back of the entire pack.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I guess overall, Alfa Romeo, historic team, kicks off the F1 era in style, leaves for a while, kind of returns randomly and then disappears again and is under all sorts of different names, and then finally decides for the time being that they are in fact going to do this F1 thing. And so 2019 to present, that's where we're at.
Sounds like they never should have left in 1952.
Yeah, you know.
But what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could have been Ferrari.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to work under Enzo, because he sounds like kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google their car. Can I look at their car?
Yeah.
That is almost like a cherry red.
Yeah.
All these cars are sweet looking, but that thing is badass.
Big upgrades for 2022.
Yeah.
So here's what's working out in their favor so far. We'll get into the drivers in a second. But in terms of the car, it appears that under the new regulations, so far as of this recording, the team is comfortably midfield for the first time in a very long time.
Okay.
Which is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can just tell the team seems more excited and more energized than they have. But I think in large part has to do with the driver lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think.
Do you want to help move us on to drivers?
No, I don't, actually. I'd like to stop. I'd like to stop there.
Lily's been waiting.
I'm so excited. This is my underrated king.
Well, who's driving their cars?
We'll get into the drivers, but right after we take a break.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hold up.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Okay, I am going to be making, this is a whole personal pitch from me.
I am welcoming you with open arms.
Oh, I love this. Okay. In our kind of number one seat here.
Yes.
We have got Finnish Instagram boyfriend, and as I said, king, Valtteri Bottas.
Excellent name.
Yes. You have a dog, Walter.
Yes.
Valtteri is the Finnish version of the name Walter.
Oh, no shit.
So you already have a bit of a connection to Valtteri Bottas.
And it should be noted for our millions of listeners that Walter is on the lap of Yohai right now, I think. Is he?
He is. Mm-hmm.
Good. He's such a little slut. I left him. Okay, so Valtteri, I like this guy.
Yeah, Valtteri Bottas.
Why do you like him?
Okay, so let's do a little bit of Valtteri's history here. So Valtteri comes from humble beginnings. He is not a millionaire's kid, a billionaire's kid, or anything. So his dad owns a small cleaning company, and his mother is a funeral director.
You hear that, Nicholas Latifi?
He wishes he could be Valtteri Bottas with his funeral director mom and cleaning company dad. Another fun fact about Valtteri, he actually served in the Finnish army for a short time because it's mandatory for adult men.
Yeah.
So he obtained the rank of Lance Corporal.
Great.
Yeah. Love to see it. So, yeah, Valtteri doesn't get his start through a racing family. In fact, his whole career is due to a chance encounter when he was 6 years old, where he's at the grocery store with his grandfather, happens to see a flyer for just a local karting event that's happening, and decides to go.
Love it.
So that's already great. And what also intersects with this time, we're talking about the 90s. Valtteri's now in his early 30s. In the 90s, there is an iconic Finnish racing driver named Mika Häkkinen. He won two back-to-back titles in the late 90s.
Mika joyfully waved both hands out of the cockpit. There's a lot of Finns here with their faces painted blue and white.
So there's a lot of fervor around Mika. He's also very Finnish and being kind of earnest, a little wry at times.
Mika, it looked very easy. Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was so easy. You can't believe it. No, it wasn't.
So Valtteri, between going to this local karting event and Mika, you know, Häkkinen being in the news all the time, you know, he's hooked on this. Yeah. So he eventually is able to make his way to the karting scene and gets into competitive karting throughout the early and mid 2000s, eventually makes his way to open wheel racing, to these junior formula categories where he picks up a ton of victories.
The young Finn really is being touted as the next Kimi Raikkonen. He's certainly got the same line in dry humor.
He's looking unstoppable. Everything's going great for Valtteri. And in 2010, he gets a gig as a test driver for Williams. Mm. which we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Sissi, Valtteri, mm-hmm. connecting mm-hmm. with the team you like. and this is when he's still kind of serving in junior, you know, or racing in junior formulas. Finally, the year is 2013. Mm-hmm. He gets a spot on the Williams team. However, it was a rough year. Both cars didn't do well. Yeah. You know, it was a rough one. However, things improve in 2014 and 2015. He ends up finishing in the Drivers' Championship standings in P4 and P5.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Williams' car was working. Val was doing well.
Results.
Exactly.
Has some results.
Exactly. Yep. Things are looking good. You know, he gets the team's blessing, et cetera. And then things really start to look good a couple years later. So end of the 2016 season.
Okay.
Mercedes has Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg, two former besties who are now arch rivals. And Nico Rosberg, after a very toxic, just terribly divisive season, ends up winning his first and only world championship and beats out Lewis at the last second.
Wow.
And so as if that wasn't dramatic enough, 5 days after winning this world title.
I want to take the opportunity to announce that I've decided to end my Formula One career in this moment here. On Monday.
That's what I was going to say. I thought that was coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had 2 more years left on his contract.
Oh,
so
that must piss Lewis off too.
Well, Mercedes wasn't expecting it. You know, again, similar to this whole Daniel Ricciardo suddenly leaving a vacuum at Red Bull, Nico's sudden retirement announcement is, you know, a shock retirement basically, leaves another big void for Mercedes.
We need to just come up with a decision, look at the drivers that are out there, and then hopefully quickly decide.
They now have an open seat that they weren't necessarily expecting to fill for a bit. They're kind of like, who could we fill in this seat? We don't want a repeat of this Nico Lewis drama.
Right.
It's not good for team morale. It's not good for the constructor.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to put a second Nico in there and make this whole thing bad. So guess who's been doing well during his time in F1?
I want to present a new member of the family. So give him a big round of applause.
A certain Valtteri Walter Bottas. I'm kidding. His name is not Walter.
These spots are so coveted and it's such high stakes that when one person leaves, it just sends waves. It's such an enormous earthquake of action that then has to follow to get everything back in place.
Exactly. And especially in this case, it was a surprise, right? It's already a bit chaotic.
Yeah.
So everyone is trying to figure out this Val guy who's been on the grid for a little bit. And basically, Valtteri ends up spending 5 seasons at Mercedes. And they were a little tough. So he has his highs and his lows.
It'd be tough.
He wins a bunch of races. He's really fast in qualifying, so he gets a lot of pole positions. He finishes on the podium a ton.
Mm-hmm.
During his 5 Mercedes years, he ends up, I think, in finishing P3 in the standings twice and P2 twice.
Okay.
So
behind Lewis?
Lewis. And then this past year, it was between Lewis and Max. So he was third behind the two of them. There are a couple of issues, though, that are always existing. So one, obviously, Lewis Hamilton, Sir Lewis Hamilton, is his teammate. Lewis is the GOAT. That's the guy who you're being compared to constantly.
It kind of sucks if you're P2 and you still feel like the guy in the garage next to you is beating you.
Exactly. Yeah. And Lewis is in the midst, by 2017, of this string of victories,
right? Yeah.
And on top of that, what's already kind of an issue is that the team shows bias towards Lewis.
A gap at 2.2 in team order. Do not fight with Lewis.
There's several occasions of this where they give those team orders to have Valtteri, you know, move aside to let Lewis through, to do something in a race or a qualifying session to make things better for Lewis.
Yeah.
Valtteri, it's James. Please abort the fastest lap attempt before the end of the lap.
Sometimes it happens at the detriment of Valtteri's own race or own strategy.
Yeah. Valtteri, this is Toto. Difficult day for you and difficult day for us. Let's discuss it afterwards.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Just a quick interjection here. Valtteri himself made some unusually candid remarks on his whole situation on F1's official podcast, Beyond the Grid.
It was like, I don't know what's the description, like biting my own teeth together, and really didn't feel natural and not right because I'm a racer. But I did it for the team.
So it's just not fun. And it's again, over the course of 5 years. So it's not like this happened 1 or 2 races. This is half a decade. And then as if all of that wasn't enough, Mercedes team boss Toto Wolff, Daddy Toto, we have not talked about him at length in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Daddy Toto refuses to give Valtteri a contract longer than year to year. So he's on 5 1-year contracts while Lewis, Lewis is getting signed. Everyone's getting signed a multi-year. You know, so he feels like, and he's talked about this in interviews, he was actually very brutally honest after, right after he left Mercedes, that
if you have pressure, contractually for 9 years of your Formula One career, year by year. It starts to eat you from inside, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't. It makes you not feel as confident. It makes you feel like the team's not really backing you.
But that's really stupid of Daddy Toto, because this guy isn't some okay driver. He's P2, P3. Give him a multi-year deal and pay him a lot. And Lewis, that's really dumb of them.
According to Valtteri, Toto's rationale is that the year-to-year lights a fire under Valtteri.
Yeah, but you can only ignite so many fires.
It's just very exhausting.
I have a feeling, because we're talking about Alfa Romeo, that that's what happened.
Yeah, so there's all these little frustrations. Interestingly, Drive to Survive has made him and Lewis seem a little more adversarial at times.
Sure.
And yeah, again, as like with everyone else, they've had their moments. But generally, a lot of Valtteri's biggest resentments have been more with Mercedes leadership than with Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
And him and Lewis actually have a really sweet relationship. They are both, like I said, now in their 30s. So they were older even when he came on the team. He's a little bit older in his career, a little more developed. Yeah. Lewis was a little bit more mature than he was, you know, back when he was winning his first title with McLaren in the late 2000s. So generally speaking, them on a personal level, they do get along. After Lewis lost his bid at the 8th world title last year, he only came out of hiding for two events. It was to get knighted by Prince Charles, and the second was Valtteri's farewell party.
Right.
So
okay.
It's obvious that he holds him in high regard.
Right.
He really, when he left too, had really nice things to say. You know, if Lewis didn't want to do things, he just won't do things.
That's pretty wonderful, because they definitely were in a position to be in the trenches together, and they could, you know, it's very likely you don't like those people. So that's cool.
The two of them are also up there in terms of being one of the most successful partners, driver partnerships in F1 history.
Right.
So, of course, you know, by 2021, it's Val's fifth season. There's already a little bit of something in the air where people feel like he's maybe on his way out. Everyone knows George Russell, heir apparent, has been at Williams for three years.
Right.
How much longer can you keep this poor kid who you've anointed the golden boy at a shitty team?
Right.
And on top of that, Valtteri is really not having a great season. It's fine. It's just not his best.
Yeah,
he crashes. Yeah. He has some other slip-ups. It's just not looking good long-term. And at this point, he's in his early 30s. He wants some more stability and security. He doesn't want to be fighting year to year for that Mercedes contract.
Correct.
Yeah, he's gotten the wins. He's gotten the pole positions. He's ended up on the podium in the standings.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't he's achieved all of that. So he's kind of looking for what does he want next. So he announces in late 2021 that he is going to be moving to Alfa Romeo.
He's had to play second fiddle to Lewis Hamilton in all of those years. So he will go and be the main man at Alfa Romeo.
Which everyone's kind of like, okay, you know, they finished P9 in 2021 out of 10 teams. Everyone's kind of like, well, that's good for him. You know, he's still on the grid, but he's really stoked because he gets a multi-year deal. And what's interesting is I listened, obviously, as a fan of his to many interviews, and he was very much like, trust me, they're going to do cool things in 2022. Like, he was very adamant about this in a way that Valtteri is a very earnest Finnish man. He doesn't really hype things.
Yeah.
So I was really intrigued that he was so excited about the move.
Yeah.
Obviously, he knows he's going to be the number one driver.
That's nice.
So we're at Val's first season. You know, the season's obviously still going on. However, immediately off the bat with the first race, Valtteri makes it to Q3, the final stage of qualifying.
Love it.
He starts earning points off the bat.
Oh, love it.
And as of right now, Alpha is kind of switching between P5, P6 in the standings. So a humongous jump for them, pretty much entirely based on Valtteri's standings in these races.
Nice.
So he's just been killing it on the grid thus far. Obviously seems a lot more comfortable, a little more secure, because he knows he's not fighting for a contract at the end of the season.
He signed a multi-year deal?
Multi-year.
Okay.
So aside from all this racing with Val, here's what I really like about Valtteri. I will say, I don't know if it's that maybe Lewis's whole vibe rubbed off on him over the years, but he has a lot going on off the track. So first and foremost, his girlfriend is an Australian Olympic cyclist named Tiffany Cromwell. Yes.
Okay.
But they are like a duo. Like, they are the OTP. I ship them. There are two couples. I'll be devastated if they ever break up. And
what is OTP?
One true pair or one true parent.
Okay. Did you know that, Yohai?
What do you think?
Yes. The answer is yes. They say this in Israel all the
Rob?
Time.
I actually did not know that.
I love that Lily's generation just throws these acronyms around as if we're supposed to have any shitty idea what that means. Okay, OTP, one OTP. True pair.
Yes. So
love that.
But they're, do you know what an end game is? They are end game. So Tiff and Val are very fun because because of Tiffany.
Tiff and Val is what she calls them.
I know. I love Tiff and Val. So I call them mom and dad in my newsletter. Okay. So Tiff and Val, like when he's not racing, they travel around like cycling everywhere together. And if he's not having a race weekend, he will go to her cycling races.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And similarly, she'll come to the paddock if she's not racing. A lot of times, too, anyone who's kind of connected to the teams or the drivers during not races can like use the track. So she'll cycle on these official F1 tracks.
Whoa, that's sweet.
If no one's practicing or just, you know, whatever, they're allowed to do that. So
it'd be sweeter if people were practicing.
It'd be a little
scarier.
Watch
out for the bike out there.
It's very Squid Game. So he turns into a total Instagram boyfriend. He takes photos on the side of the road of her and all of her friends. He sets up a tripod and like a full professional camera setup. He has the water and the granola bar as soon as she finishes, and she like collapses into his arm. Like it's very This is OTP shit.
Yeah. There's something very cool about a egomaniac Formula One driver offering support.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And very gladly being a supportive figure and
that's
not
nice.
The attention. Yeah. The
that's
main attraction. Nice. Aside from that, though, other things he's done. He is a known coffee connoisseur.
Oh, I love him already. The Finnish love their coffee.
They do. He also judges coffee competitions on the side.
Mm. You know, I want to taste one of his espressos because I'm addicted to coffee as he is. So
Alfa Romeo test driver Tatiana Calderon again.
Besides the coffee, I think, you know, Valtteri is somebody that has so much experience with a top team. He knows what it feels and what it takes to win a Formula One race, to be on pole position. And that's what any team would like to have as a racing driver, somebody with the experience, with the knowledge, with the speed and the maturity that he brings to the team. I think it's a great addition.
Valtteri's got some stuff going on the grid. He's making moves this year. And then he also seems to have a rich personal life outside of the sport. Plenty of hobbies.
Lot to like here. And also one of the things you said that I love is you said he's not like a hype guy. He's not like over-promote-y.
If anything, he under-promises and over-delivers.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I also love, and I can hear Yohai's microphone getting ready, so I'm going to get this in. I also love that he's placing P2, P3 behind this, you know, mega star, and yet the mega star still has mad respect for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like I'm excited for him to be in this number one car position at a team, even though we haven't talked about the second driver yet, but we will.
Yep. Yohai?
Yohai, just hit me with it.
No, I was just wondering if we could maybe talk a little bit about there have been a lot of really, really good Finnish drivers.
If you were going to give me a piece of paper and say, write down 50 countries that have historically been good at racing, I don't think I would have ever have even written down Finland. I would have written Costa Rica before I would have written Finland.
Yeah, it's a little bit random, but they do have a history of success in the sport. So you've got, Mika Häkkinen back in the 90s. You've got Kimi Räikkönen, was known as the Iceman, which is pretty funny. Keke Rosberg, his son Nico was the guy who won the Merck World Championship against Lewis and retired. Mm-hmm. They're all very earnest. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit self-serious, have a very dry sense of humor typically. And it seems to work for them in terms of, you know, high-speed race car driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for indulging me.
Quick break, and we're back.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Okay, love this guy, but there's two people that race for Alfa Romeo. So who's the other guy?
The other guy, okay, so he is a Chinese driver. The first.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, the first Chinese driver in the history of F1. And so the reason I say that is because he, in his lower formulas, they used to call him Guan Yu Zhou.
Yep.
But upon entering Formula One, he's like, hey, I want you to pronounce my name the way, you know, the Chinese tradition puts surname first. So it's Zhou Guan Yu now.
Zhou Guan Yu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Guan Yu is the lone rookie on this grid.
Ah.
Yes.
And the, for certain, the only Chinese driver.
Ever.
Ever.
Yes.
So we'll get into him more, but Formula One, like NBA, tennis, Olympic, they're all realizing this market exists and we need to be in it.
Yes. He actually moved to the UK from China.
Okay.
All the way back in 2012. So he would have been adolescent, like early preteen, like 12, 13 years old.
Sure.
Because of the fact that there wasn't a lot of really great competitive racing in China. And he wanted more opportunity. He wanted to learn from the best. He had the money to do that. So he moved halfway across the world for that chance.
Copy.
There's a lot to say about Zhou in terms of his career. I mean, he has had some successes and all of that. I would say we don't know too much about his personal background. This, I think, makes sense and in line with the Chinese tradition.
Yep.
So we don't know too much. We do know he has money. He has a very extensive designer shoe collection, sneaker collection. He is a sneakerhead. So if he's dropping like 5 different pairs of Balenciaga sneakers, you have to assume that there is money somewhere in that pipeline.
Correct.
But yeah, he also has a little bit, just a tiny bit of the Nicholas Latifi a la Williams thing going on.
I was sensing some of that.
Yeah, he for instance, stayed a little bit longer in some formulas. So he was in Formula 2, for instance, for 3 years, whereas as we've established, most drivers are in any given series, usually only 1 to 2 years. So has enough money, wherever it's coming from, to have some longevity where a lot of drivers do not.
Can I play bad cop for a second?
Yes.
Did they just make sure he had a seat because he's Chinese and this is an enormous market that Formula One has never even tapped into ever?
Ooh. a complicated question.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. So yeah, okay. So here's where things get very sticky or murky, is that the rumor is, no one has said this out loud, we don't know if it's exactly the Chinese government, if it's other Chinese sponsors. They offer up Alfa Romeo. They're like, hey, if you get put this guy Guan Yu in the seat, there is £30 million waiting for you or more.
But again, is this not the horse head in the bed of Godfather?
Yeah. So
why can't, if you just win Formula 2, why don't you just automatically get a seat? Like, why don't they just make that the fucking rule?
I love that suggestion.
I love that it's episode 14 and Yohai now just says, I love what Michael said.
Actually, it's 13.
Okay. Rob, turn his mic off.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Joe has some backing. And what's hard about this is there's been theories on who is behind this and what exactly was promised. We still don't really know.
Yes.
I will say, unsurprisingly, a lot of the discussion about the money behind Joe has been plagued by a lot of racism and xenophobia.
Right.
And it's interesting. That's like, you don't have anything to say about like the white European guys who had a very similar setup in the past. But suddenly, you know, Joe Guan Yu is a whole different beast compared to those. So that's been very tricky, is that, like no one quite knows where it's coming from. Some people are like, it's definitely the government. Some people are like, oh, it's some sort of industry in cahoots with the government.
Yeah.
But so long story short, it's one of those situations where some people are like, yes, Joe is absolutely a pay driver. And other people are like, well, he's like a weird, like, because we don't really know what exactly it is.
Yeah.
But he has miraculously ended up on this seat.
Yeah.
We know he has money. We know he's connected to some people with money. Basically, it's just a lot of question marks. And that's what's led to, unfortunately, some suspicions, some attacks and whatnot.
Can he drive?
Yeah. So in terms of his driving, he did, on his first race, so his Formula One debut, he did score a point. He got 10th. So that P10.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has struggled since then. He got two P11s in a row, the poor guy, which is the first position where you don't get any points.
Right.
He's had some spins and crash and this and that, which, again, he's a rookie. This is all kind of expected.
Yeah.
I will say what he has going for him. One, he's incredibly friendly. And two, he treats the team well. So after he got this point, he's not a fun villain.
Come on.
But he, after he got his first point in his debut, he went around bowing to everyone. And he's always been also a good sport about the fact that Valtteri is the number one guy and is doing really well overall. And they also seem to have a really, I mean, they're 10 years apart in age, right?
Yeah.
So, but they have a very cordial, nice, friendly, positive relationship.
Cool.
It's very early days in their relationship because they're both new to the team. But at least Joe Guan Yu, for all that's going on with the money or whatever, he himself seems to be okay.
He's in an odd position where it feels like he could go either way as the paid driver or, no, I'm really, really good and, I have some backing. But I guess time will tell on that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it is too early to really form an opinion of his racing.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued. I would say that's the word. I'm intrigued.
And from a marketing standpoint, the potential is enormous and it's probably a big part, plus £30 million, of why Alfa Romeo took a chance on him.
Exactly. Yeah.
He has to speak English, right?
Yes, he does speak English.
Okay.
And I mean, he lived in the UK for a decade before this. The other thing that a lot of people, myself included, like is that he is a little bit of a fashionista.
Yeah.
He has talked about looking up to Lewis in terms of his fashion. As I said, he has a massive designer shoe collection.
Sneakerhead.
Yeah. Totally into that and can speak pretty intelligently about his collection. So let me show you some photos of...
Oh, shit. Is he holding a purse?
It's a bag, but like it is a purse.
That's a bold move.
It is.
But good for him for having the confidence to rock that.
He's trying stuff out.
I have to get a bag purse now?
Only if it's a triangle.
Okay. I guess I got to get one.
So we have now met 9 out of our 10 teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where is Alpha coming in for you now?
I don't love the paid driver situation. That really hurts. I'm sure that was a big decision they had to make because they needed the money, whatever. But Valtteri's awesome. Alfa Romeo brand name, awesome. The car.
Beautiful.
Oh, that car is beautiful. The cherry red, I love. So I'm going to say for me, AlphaTauri is somewhere in here. Williams, I still like a lot. And Alfa Romeo, I like a lot.
You got some real different picks up and down
the
grid.
I know. And it's basically, here's how it's working for me. a brand name I recognize and feel something about, plus at least one driver who has guts and grit and is maybe a little understated.
Interesting.
I think okay. I've just come up with my own formula.
You just psychoanalyzed yourself.
Yeah. So, wow. What does that say about me?
And so where do Valtteri and Joe sort of come into play here?
Valtteri Joe doesn't come into play. Okay. Sorry. It sounds like I'm being a jerk, but show me, Joe, that you're an amazing driver. We'll find out. Valtteri's great. I love it. I think it's awesome that he's paid his dues. I love the Lewis Hamilton thing that he, you know, was with him and beat him sometimes, and they still have some. I love the finish thing. Coffee. Come on. I text all you guys every day. Who needs a coffee? And everyone ignores me.
You know who wouldn't ignore you if you texted him? Valtteri. He would talk to you about coffee.
He would. Yeah exactly right. Exactly right.
I should have brought Valtteri's favorite coffee with me today.
Well,
unfortunately, it was very specific and long.
And you should have brought your Alfa Romeo sweatshirt, but it got stolen.
Sorry, guys. Before we sign off, I just need to give you guys a quick update.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Here he goes.
We have producer
one introduction,
Yohai.
And now he thinks he freaking runs this whole thing.
Producer Yohai, take it away.
So, do you guys remember Silly Season? Well, at the very tail end of Silly Season, Alfa Romeo announced that it is ending its partnership with Sauber.
Hmm.
So that's going to happen at the end of the 2023 season. So in about a year and a half.
For real? Are you joking? Or are you serious?
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
This could mean it's pulling out of the sport entirely, or perhaps it's just switching partners. We really don't know yet. But yeah, that's that.
Next time, we have our final team. And this team is the only American-owned team
on
the grid.
Here we go.
They are an episode of The Office personified.
Oh, my God.
If you said we need to make a mockumentary series based on a Formula One team, I would say just film the Haas garage. Don't even need to hire actors or make scripts. Just film Haas.
Is it a German brand?
It is not. It is, in fact, American, named after an American named Gene Haas.
Oh, okay.
We will have more white-collar crime.
Yes.
We will have some of the funniest and weirdest sketchy sponsors.
Yes.
We have some real villains.
Yes.
We have Michael Schumacher's son finally entering the picture.
Great.
And we also have another really fun comeback story. It is your favorite guy, the Suck My Balls mate. Man himself.
Who is that?
Kevin Magnussen, who we talked about.
Suck my balls, mate.
Yes,
I love
that guy.
There's something so funny about that, because mate is basically like friend. So it's like, hey, hey, my friend, suck my balls.
So they truly have everything at Haas. And I think
that. Did they finish last year?
They did. Not a single point was earned.
Wow.
So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Haas.
I can't wait to hear about it. Thank you, Lily.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Sella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brennan Getchus is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. And if you want more F1 goodness, follow us on Instagram at ChoosingSidesF1.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret,
like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.